will begin with verse number 1. Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you. Then there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the other piece whereupon it rained not, withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've set among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come upon your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Boy, that's pretty stern, isn't it? All of those things that occurred, and yet they didn't return unto the Lord. So the subject this morning is going to be, prepare to meet thy God. We had a good revival. I was revived. Amen. Boy, I was picked up. I was ready to move on. And then COVID came in. You know what? All of that I was ready to move on with then, I'm ready to move on with today. Amen. I was stirred up. Out of the ashes became a blaze. And that blaze is for everyone to know Jesus Christ the way I know him. You know, God's judgment isn't simply anger vented at sinners. When God judges us for something, it's not just vented at sinners. It's vented to all people, so that they will know that it's God's way of restarting or restoring his judgment, pulling us back to where we need to be. It's his way of bringing his wayward people back to him. You know, revival does the same thing, doesn't it? It stirs your heart. And you want to turn away from the things of this world and turn to the things of God, the things that Jesus Christ gave us, the new covenant that we have. Amen. To turn away from the world and trust in Jesus to take care of everything. He came and he died so that we might not live in darkness but that we might live in the light.
Amen.
And give our heart to Him. Amos prophesied to the people of Israel during a time of national prosperity. Our country's not really doing much right now in the way of prosperity. But I had food to eat. I had clothes to wear. I've got shoes on my feet. I've got a bed to sleep in. I've got a house to live in. I have a roof over all of that. I have cars to drive. Now, that is prosperity. That's what we have here on earth. But the real prosperity comes from knowing that not only do I have what God has given on this earth, I have an eternal home that's coming one of these days. One of these days, I'm going to be there. And you know what? We'll all be rich in God. We're His children. You know, the people in this instance that we were talking about, they made a pretense of religion. You ever seen that? Well, I go to church on Sunday morning. I'm so much holier than thou. Every step I take just says I'm so humble. Oh, I'm so humble. Every step I take says I don't deserve to be here. I don't think any of us deserve to be here.
Amen.
We are where we are because of God. We're where we are because of what Jesus did for us. You know, I'm careful when I say that you know, I open my mouth and say I don't deserve to be here. And by the way, I walk, you see that? But then somebody told me one day, said, yeah, then you get up to the pulpit, you open your mouth, and you prove it.
Amen.
But they made a pretense of religion. They weren't practicing the religion that Jesus brought. They were not practicing the things that Jesus told us was important, because their hearts were far from God. They were on the things that they had each day and every day in front of them. They were far from God. Yes, I'm here because this is the Lord's house. Let me tell you how much money I made this week on my mutual funds. You need to invest in the ones I did. We make a pretense. Ever been to a church? It's more like a country club instead of a church?
Yeah.
I pastored one. And I got up and told them. It was interdenominational church. We had everything there from Assembly of God to Catholic coming to that church. And I got to tell you, it's hard for a Baptist Protestant to preach to a Catholic person.
Amen.
But you know what? They were baptized.
Amen to that.
They were baptized. They came and accepted Jesus and were baptized. But I told them. And it's the same thing here I told y'all too when I first came. I can't preach Baptist doctrine to you. I can't preach Methodist doctrine to you. I can't preach Assembly of God doctrine to you. I can't preach Pentecostal doctrine to you. I can only preach to you the doctrine of the Bible.
Amen.
And if it's not in the Bible, you're not going to hear me talk about it.
That's right.
Because we are here as God's people. We are here as His children. We are here to live, to love, to work, and to sacrifice for others. That's what we're here for. But you see, at the time that this was going on, they were just making a pretense of coming to church. That was their weekly country club meeting. Got to catch up on the gossip, Gary, let me tell you what Billy said the other night about Donald. You know? Let me tell you what Tommy said about Palmer. That's okay, Dad. I'll tell you what Palmer said about Tommy. We don't come to church for that. We come to church to enjoy the fellowship of the family Amen. And to praise the Lord God for bringing us a Savior.
Amen.
That's what we're here for. Did y'all enjoy hearing Brian preach?
Yes.
Amen.
I get so tickled at him. He'd get so wound up. The more wound up he got, the faster he talked.
He did.
I don't even think he breathed.
You know, God's relationship with people includes all of their lives, not just here at church. It includes your life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It's in all the time, every time, all day, 24/7, He is in your life. And His relationship with us is with us at all times. The judgment that Amos announced was not the final judgment. That was like the judgment he made on Sodom and Gomorrah. That wasn't a final judgment. It was for them, but it wasn't for the rest of us. And that's the kind of judgment that they were talking about. When God's judgment comes to the point that He's got to intervene. And I tell you what, I don't see how Sodom and Gomorrah could be any different than the United States of America is today.
Amen.
Wouldn't surprise me if fire rained down from heaven, destroyed everything in the United States.
Yep.
Why? Because this country has turned.
Amen.
But you remember before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, God said, well, let me find 10 people. Let me find 5. Can I find 1? As long as we have practicing 100% dedicated Christians in this country, God's going to allow us to do our job until He gets to the point He's ready to say enough.
Amen.
Enough. We don't know when that'll be. But we certainly want to be prepared, don't we?
Yes.
It was part of God's relationship with the people to cast judgment upon them. Can you imagine what kind of child you would have been if your parents had never corrected you about anything you did wrong? Billy, we'd probably be in jail somewhere. Have you ever thought about it? Well, God's the same way. He corrects us too. He corrects us too. But it's up to you and it's up to me whether you're destroyed or you go to heaven. It's a decision that we make personally. You see, the person without Christ is unprepared to meet their final judgment. They're unprepared by their very nature. Their nature is not one of a Christian. Their nature is one of a heathen. Now we know why Grandmother Henson always called us heathens. You heathen boys, get out of here. Either you're Christian or you're not. That's all there is to it. There's not, well, sometimes. They're unprepared by the nature of God. God is not going to let someone who by nature is not one of His children, He's not going to allow them to make the trip on the glory train to heaven. A lot of the people are unprepared because of their practice, the practices that they have in their daily life. You know, we were talking in Sunday school about how we have to be the same outside these doors as we are in here. Because my words are not going to mean anything if you see me acting like a fool outside the doors.
Amen.
That's why I only act that way when the men of the church are here. But it's up to us to do our part that God gave us. And if you don't do what God has told you to do, you're going to be unprepared when the time comes.
Amen.
See, we meet God with our influence when we talk to others. We're meeting with God. Sometimes We may meet him with empty hands because we have nothing except ourselves to offer him. We may meet him sooner than we expect. I don't know when I'm going, but I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I cherish each day that he gives me, even if I'm sitting at home in front of the TV watching old westerns. I thank God for what he gives me. You see, people can prepare if they want to. They can prepare to meet God if they want to. And you may ask me how I know. Well, first of all, this word proves it.
Amen.
Second of all, Jesus' death on the cross proves it.
Amen.
And then again, his resurrection assures it.
Amen.
We are assured of going to be with him because of Jesus' resurrection. You know, people will meet him either prepared or unprepared. Do you remember Belshazzar? The message written on the wall. They saw the hand, but nobody, as the message was written. And it goes on to say that he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. Weighed in the balance. I'm glad. Well, Donald and Billy and I are glad that our weight don't have to be one certain thing to be weighed in the balance. He weighs your heart, not your body. He weighs your heart. And if you're found wanting, then somebody better get on their knees pretty darn quick.
Amen.
Because you're either going to be prepared or unprepared. And then there was the rich farmer. In Luke chapter 12, he said, "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I'll pull down all my barns and build greater, bigger barns, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' And God said, 'Tonight thy soul will be required of thee.'" So you see, we never know, do we? Need to be prepared. Need to have our heart in the right place. Remember the repentant thief on the cross. On the cross, he cried out to Jesus to be saved, to go where he goes. And what was Jesus' answer? He said, "Today, thou wilt be with me in paradise."
Amen.
How about John the Baptist? He was beheaded for what he believed, for what he taught. So it makes me wonder, how many Christians do we have that are willing to go every mile of the way? I don't know where to lead. I don't know what you'll go through. You don't know what I'll go through. But I know one thing, whatever I go through, God and Jesus Christ will be with me.
Amen.
So I know, regardless of what I do, regardless of when that time comes, Jesus is going to be there to hold my hand and carry me forth, that I might be restored the way the Bible says. How can a person prepare? Well, number one, I'll tell you, you can't prepare for your last day here on earth by trying to work your way into salvation. That's not going to work. You know, I've seen preachers preaching in the pulpit and bring a sermon that's so stirring to the people that he has all sorts of people lined up here to talk to the pastor and to pray with him. But I've also seen the pastor saved by his own message.
Amen.
He had never really come to know Jesus as a Savior. But he did. Because God came to him in his own message and said, I want you. I want you. We cannot prepare for heaven just by our association with good people. That's just not going to work. Just being associated with good people is not going to cut it.
No, sir.
God says, I'm not here for what you do with other people. I'm here for what you do as a child of God. There's only one way to prepare, and that's by repentance and faith. By the regeneration of your soul. The day that you came to accept Jesus as your Savior, you left that church in a complete different condition and feeling than you had when you got there.
That's right.
Why is that? You had Jesus in your heart.
Amen.
And he makes all the difference. And it's what you do with what God gives you that prepares your heart to be a heart of service. So when should a person prepare? Should he prepare after he's old like me? I'm hoping y'all are shaking your head no, because I'm not old. Do you wait till you're old like I am and you don't have a job to go to, you don't have, you know, grandkids coming every day, you're sitting at home and say, well, what am I going to do this day? Does a person come to know Jesus and prepare his afterlife after his life here on earth is wasted? You know, I never did anything for Jesus Christ, but I believe he's my Savior, and I believe in him, so I'm going to heaven. Have you ever heard somebody give their testimony that way? I have. I have. But let me tell you, and y'all know this, when the Holy Spirit gets in here, the joy comes out right here.
Amen.
The joy comes out. You can't stop it. It just bubbles to the surface. Should a person prepare just in time to be saved as by fire? In other words, oh Lord, I don't want to go to that fire. Just take me right now and take me to heaven. Too late then. If I know I'm on the way and I can feel the heat, it's too late. It's too late. So what would your answer be? If someone asked you, when should a person prepare? The Bible tells me that now is the accepted day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the accepted day. The people in Noah's day waited too long, didn't they? The 10 virgins were unprepared to meet the bridegroom, weren't they? The door can be closed by frivolously waiting too long with God's invitation. It can be closed by sudden death, but it could be closed today by the return of Jesus Christ. I don't know when he's coming, but I want to be ready when he does.
Amen.
So why should we prepare? Well, one of the reasons is to do the job that he sent us here to do.
Right.
I want to preach to others about Jesus Christ as long as I can. Because I never know when a premature, unexpected death may come. I have no idea. I should prepare because of the judgment day that's coming. I want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And I said, and then to hear God say, "His name ain't on my list." His name ain't on my list. I'd hate to hear that.
That's right.
I'd rather hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We have so many servants here at the church. I think everybody in the church does something for the good of the church. And I'm glad to see that. If you're unprepared, hell is your destination. There's not enough preachers that say the word hell during service anymore. And I want to tell you, hell is a real thing.
Amen.
And hell is a place you're going if you don't put your faith in Him.
That's right.
So if you're prepared, for Him to come, you're ready to live when you get there.
Amen.
Amen.
You're ready to serve your people here and to serve in heaven. You're ready to suffer if that's what Jesus sends for you to do. You're ready to die when the time comes. And you're ready to meet God. Let's all stand. So this morning, the ball is in our court. You say, "Are you ready?" Only you and God know the condition of your heart. If you're unsure, you can receive a guarantee this morning. Your future is yours to decide. Heaven for all eternity, or hell from now on. So I choose life in heaven. Why? Because that is His promise to me, to you, and to all who will come to Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we reach out to You with humble hearts. We reach out to You, Father, as Your children that want to do the right thing all the time. But Lord, You know as long as we live in these old earthly bodies, there's no way we can do that. But Father, I have a counselor. I have a Savior named Jesus Christ who died for me, died for each person here. And my prayer, Lord, is if they have a need or a question or if something they're unsure about, I just pray, Lord, that You will urge them to step out this morning and let's get things going the way You want them to go in our life, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.